believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and while in high school, his father went to prison and his younger brother was killed. He then became a drug dealer and ultimately a gang leader. A Damascus Road encounter with God transformed his life, and he then earned a BA in General Bible Studies from Destiny University. From 2013 to 2018, he was the lead pastor at Woodside Bible Church's Pontiac Dream Center. And for the last 2 years, he's been the lead pastor of Evangel Ministries / 180 Church of Detroit. His name, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. For the last 2 years, he's been the lead pastor of Evangel Ministries in Detroit. Pastor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, I'm so grateful to be on this new year. This is amazing.
All right. Can we start this evening by you offering an opening prayer in this new year?
Yes, let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you saying thank you for getting us to 2021. You've been so kind to protect us in 2020, and now we're here another year again. And we're asking that you would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think this year. Our prayer is for divine protection over our family, our finances, and everything pertaining to us so that we can help others, because you are the God of the impossible. We pray all these things in the name of the one that died and rose again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lorenzo. Describe for us what you were like as a very young boy for the first 10 years of your life.
Very good question, Jack. I was born actually with my legs broken. My legs were actually tilted on the inside, and I had to have my legs broken twice. I actually crawled for the first 5 years of my life, and the doctor said I would barely be able to walk. But my mother told me that I would outcrawl the children in the community faster than they would run. That's what I was born into. And at 2 years old, my biological father, who is now in prison, him and my mother, they divorced because of domestic violence. So I grew up in an atmosphere where I saw a male always fighting my mother. And I wouldn't say that it was domestic violence. I would say it was more like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, you know, because my mother's a fighter. So it wasn't just, my mother losing the fight, right? It was my mother fighting back. I grew up in that atmosphere the first 10 years of my life. I was mentored by murderers. What that means is the local boys, that was the gang in our community. And I was a student of the streets. I remember as a kid seeing looting. Would walk into stores with those who were a lot older than me. They would loot stores and rob. And I was introduced to gangs and drug dealing at a very young age. I remember being in sixth grade, being forced to drink alcohol on my way to school because the older eighth graders, who actually were about 15 or 16 years old, they didn't pass eighth grade. So they kept getting held back. They were going into drug stores and getting alcohol, and they would say, drink it, drink it. And that's how I was introduced to the gang life and peer pressure. I was born in an atmosphere of crises for those first 10 years of my life.
Also in high school, your dad went to prison. He had a younger brother that was killed. You become a drug user, drug dealer, ultimately a gang leader. How does one become a drug dealer and gang leader still in high school?
Yeah, you know, my mother, she saw the atmosphere that we were growing up in on the east side of Detroit, and she decided to go back to school. She's my hero. She went to Highland Park Community College and she received her education as a surgical technologist and got hired into Beaumont Hospital in the Royal Oak. And when she got hired in, she decided to move us out to a city called Fraser. And when I walked into my first class in Fraser, it was Michelle's art class. I'll never forget it. I sat next to a gentleman by the name of Jeff Curtis, and no one in the class, Jack, looked like me. No one in the class was African-American. It didn't matter to me. I was never taught that skin color mattered. I was always taught that we're all equal. And it was at that moment that Jeff Curtis began to tell me about how kids in my grade needed drugs, but they were afraid to go down to the city. And of course, I was born and raised in Detroit, so it was no problem for me to go back to my old neighborhood and begin to talk to some of my old friends. And I would run drugs from Gratiot and 8 Mile all the way back up to Gratiot and 15 Mile, from Groesbeck all the way back up to Fraser. And that's how I made my living. It was very lucrative, so to speak. I was a street pharmacist, as it were.
A street pharmacist. We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. When we come back, we're going to ask him about his Damascus Road encounter with God on April 18th, 1999. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. Lorenzo, let's go back. April 18th, 1999, your senior year of high school at Fraser High. What happened?
Jack, I was the kid that your mother would have said, don't hang out with that guy. I was looking for approval in all the wrong places because I was doing all the wrong things as it pertained to drug dealing and drug using. And as drug dealers did during spring break, we went down to Daytona Beach. And at that time, I had a resort. All my friends were with me, and we were doing everything that you shouldn't do, all types of lasciviousness where we live in. And I was cutting myself, Jack. I began to cut myself with razors. Because when I did the barbiturates, I was hallucinating and I would cut myself and I was bleeding. And there was a security guard that came up to me and he said, hey, you got to leave. I said, what do you mean I got to leave? This is my room. This is a resort. I paid for it. He said, no. He said, if somebody gets hurt or you get hurt, you're liable. You got to go. So we walked out in front of the resort in Daytona Beach, Jack. And he said to me these words, can I pray for you? And Jack, at that moment, I was offended. I said, who do you think you are? Do you understand who I am? And I began to wave the money I had on me. And I began to tell him about the girls that were with me. And I began to boast and brag about my drug dealing. And he said, no, I'm not trying to offend you. Can I pray for you? And I put my hands out, Jack, and he began to pray for me. And Jack, that was the first moment in my life that I felt that drug dealing was wrong. I experienced what I didn't know then as the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I began to feel guilty for what I did. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And 1 week later, April 18th, I went to the largest church in Metro Detroit. My grandmother went there. I'd never been there before. It was Straight Gate Church, Bishop Andrew Merritt, right on Grand River and Livernois, and he was preaching. I had drugs in my pocket. I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, I knew that my life had been changed forever. That same day, Jack, I went to the guy I was selling drugs for. His name was Larry Deluge. I went to him and I said, Larry, I'm done. I'm out of this. I was afraid that I was going to lose my life that day. And Larry said, Lorenzo, I respect you. And it was at that moment that I received the boldness to believe that Jesus Christ had a higher calling for me. It was at that moment that I experienced a high that was greater than anything else because it came from the Most High.
Lorenzo, by your own admission, you made more money in high school than you're making now as a senior pastor. Not easier, okay? Why haven't you reverted back to the street life and a street pharmacist?
That's a very good question. what I realized is I had everything on the outside, but I was empty on the inside. I had the money, had the girls, had the recognition. Even now I have the tattoo. I know your viewers can't see it, but the tattoo of the gang that I was leading at the time. And when I walked into places, people feared me. I had the power and the prestige and the recognition. But Jack, I was empty. I was empty on the outside. I had the cars, I had the finances, but empty. And yes, I did have money, but I didn't have a mission. And that's one of the reasons I never reverted back, because now I have a purpose and a destiny that money cannot fulfill.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, who then went on to earn a BA in General Bible Studies from Destiny University. And then a great mutual friend, Pastor Doug Schmidt, took a chance on you and hired you as the lead pastor at Woodside Bible Church's Pontiac Dream Center. Tell us about Pastor Doug Schmidt.
Well, there's nobody like him. I owe him such a great gratitude and great debt, because I was the first African-American pastor in an all-white, large mega church. And he understood that in order for Woodside to be effective in Pontiac, they needed an African-American leader. And it was in those moments, Jack, that we were able to learn what it meant to take someone from crises to Christ-likeness. It's in that moment in Pontiac that I realized that my calling and my purpose, it was about connecting other Lorenzos, so to speak, with the Lord Jesus Christ.
What's the single biggest thing that Doug Schmidt taught you, Lorenzo?
Very good question. The single biggest thing that he taught me was humility. To give God the glory. To not give yourself the glory, but to give God all the praise. And as I was thinking about this interview, I began to reflect on how God has selected to do what he's doing in Detroit and Pontiac. And our goal is to go to Flint and Saginaw for one reason, because he's the God of the impossible. It has nothing to do with Lorenzo. If I decided not to do it, he would just pick somebody else.
Tell us about the Pontiac Dream Center that you led from 2013 till the end of 2018.
Jack, we learned in Pontiac through Woodside Bible Church and through becoming the pastor of the community that people, they had needs that were so deep that we could never understand. So we wanted to have a place where people can have wraparound services for a turnaround. So God allowed us to have a laundromat, a computer lab, a medical and dental facility, a men's suit warehouse, a women's boutique, also recreation that led to education for our young people. And Jack, we really didn't know what we were doing. As I've mentioned before, when you have a larger white denomination in terms of Woodside, when you have a larger white church and you have me that is a black pastor, we were going into a black community having no idea what to do. So we learned how to listen. We learned how to listen to the community. So the Dream Center is a manifestation of listening to an impoverished community. And we learned so much about what it means to meet the needs of people. And the Dream Center is still being led today.
All right. You talk about the community of Pontiac. Pontiac is like the hole in the middle of the donut. And the donut has wealth all around it. Okay, from Troy, Bloomfield Hills, Clarkston, West Bloomfield, Lake Orion. It's just great wealth, yet great poverty in the hole of the donut. Tell us about the people of Pontiac.
There's no one like them. They are survivors. There is a big difference between being in poverty and having everyone around you in poverty. But in Pontiac, you can make one left turn and find yourself in Birmingham, Bloomfield, the communities that you've mentioned, Rochester, Troy. And it hurts a lot of times when you see yourself in poverty. You question God and say, God, how is it that my children can't get adequate education, but I can just drive 2 miles down the road and be in one of the most affluent communities in America? How is it? When I grew up on the east side of Detroit, all of us were in poverty. But when you are living in a situation like Pontiac and you are able to rub shoulders with people in prosperity, Jack, it causes you to question God. It causes you to say, God, why me? So it hurts. And we've learned that people in Pontiac, they are beginning to see Jesus Christ in not just a proclamation of the gospel on Sunday, but also Monday through Saturday. And that's our goal. Our goal is that people would see Jesus not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. Why is that? Because people need to see Jesus before they really can see Jesus.
As I've had meals with you and been around you for years, one thing that you always team up together is praying together and eating together where you're feeding the people. Even today, why?
Well, Jesus, he
only Jesus
always
did it twice or once, you know.
We learned that it's very hard for people to receive spiritual food without natural food. As we're downtown Pontiac now through 180 Church. In downtown Pontiac, up under the Phoenix Center, Jack, people are living there. People are living in abandoned homes. And what we've come to realize is people don't want to hear about Jesus until they can see Jesus. That's one of the reasons why we do natural food, then spiritual food. We want to make sure that people can have their felt needs met so they can get their real need met.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. And in January of 2019, he leaves the Pontiac Dream Center and becomes the lead pastor of Evangel Ministries. We'll ask him why when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. And since January 2019, he's been the lead pastor of Evangel Ministries. Why did you leave, and how did you become the lead pastor of Evangel Ministries?
I never thought in a million years I would leave Pontiac. It was one of the most painful things that I've ever encountered. Can you imagine having a baby, and then right when the baby is learning how to walk, you're told you need to leave the child? And that's how I felt when I got called away from Woodside to Evangel Ministries. And I remember the day when Pastor Chris Brooks called me and asked me to pray. I knew that God was calling me to be the senior pastor of my own church because of the vision that he's given us to reach 500 urban communities. I knew God wanted me to do that, but that doesn't mean it wasn't hard to accept. It was very difficult. So Woodside's being led right now in Pontiac by great leadership. And now I am in the heart of my hometown, Detroit. And we've just started another church downtown Pontiac with the intention to go to Saginaw and Flint. And it happened through a lot of prayer, Jack. It happened through a lot of faith. And God has shown us once again that anything is possible, that he could take a kid from the east side of Detroit and call him to be a...
All right. You're back in Pontiac with Evangel Ministries to raise that little child, as you talked about. And you mentioned in the last segment that there's 50-plus homeless people living under the Phoenix Center in Pontiac. That's more than any other site in Oakland County. And you make a statement, I quote you, "Homelessness has a smell." Please.
Yes, homelessness, it has a smell, Jack. There are a lot of people that are selling their prescription drugs in order to eat. They're the silent ones, the hurting ones. Those that most churches may not even open their doors for, we feel that we are called to reach them because Jesus taught us that whatever we do to the least of these, we do for him. So we have a calling to reach out to the disenfranchised, the marginalized, and the pushed aside. Those that when they come into your churches, perhaps they smell like urine because they've been sleeping in a basement. And we are called to love them. We're called to do unto them as we would do unto Christ. Because Jesus said that if we love the least of these, those that can't pay us back, those that can't necessarily benefit us or increase our net worth nor our net worth, we feel that we're that type of church. So we desire to do transportation, housing, give them education, and also heal the medical, mental, and dental illnesses that they're dealing with.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. If you want to learn more, www.evangelministriesdetroit.org. You say, you don't use the phrase homeless people. Lorenzo, you say home free people. Why?
That's a good question, Jack. The reason why we use the word home free, because what we want to do is we want to add dignity to what people are facing. We want to be able to say to someone who is sleeping up under a bridge, yeah, you're not homeless. We don't want your identity to be connected to what you don't have. We want your identity to be connected to an opportunity that you may have. So we say home free, because when you say home free, it denotes that you've made it. It denotes that you finished. It gives you the impression that there is liberty and freedom. And Jack, the greatest privilege that any pastor or church could have is doing good to those that can't do good for themselves. Because Paul, when he wrote to the church of Galatia, he said these words, "Do good unto all men while you have opportunity, especially those of the household of faith." So we say home free because we want to let them know, look, you're not homeless. Your identity is not based on what you have. Your identity is based on who you are. You are free. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed.
Can you share with us a few stories of your flock in Pontiac?
Yes, we've just started. This is, we've only been there for about a month now, this new year. And Jack, what we've seen is this, and this is the part I love the most that we're encountering. We're seeing people who are business owners worship God next to people who literally are living up under the Phoenix Center. We're seeing people who are Black, white, Asian, Caucasian, African-American worshiping all together. We've just started, so we're a small flock, but we're mighty because we serve a big God. And I love the cross pollination and also the cross socioeconomic conditions. And this is what we believe Jesus meant when he said, "I want the church to be a church for the nations." What we learned last year with George Floyd is this, that God does not want a homogeneous church. He does not want a church where it's all Black and all white. He wants a church where every tribe, every tongue, and every nation can be able to worship at the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the greatest story about the church in Pontiac, that it represents every socioeconomic group, every ethnicity, Latino, Asian, Caucasian, all for God's glory.
I quote you now, "Domestic violence is the greatest addiction today." Really?
Yeah, Jack, we are seeing our young women become addicted to being affirmed by violence. Last year in December, we did a play on human trafficking, and we're finding out that a lot of our young women, they're becoming addicted to human trafficking because they were never affirmed by their dads. They were never held by their fathers. So the first hand they feel on their body is the hand of a man punching them. And they become addicted to the wrong things because they were never held the right way.
And that's referred to as modern day slavery. Why should I care about that? I'm doing well. I got my own issues, my own family to raise. Lorenzo, man, I respect you for what you're doing, but why should I care about that?
That's a very good question. You know, our late friend, Mike Feezy, he taught us very well. It's about what you can do for others. And perhaps you're a listener and you're feeling that same way. You're feeling like, you know what? I have my own issues. I have my own problems with my children. I have my own battles in my business. Why do I care about what someone else is facing. This is why. To whom much is given, much is required. When you're willing to reach out and care for someone else, you're sowing a seed into your own family. You're creating a culture of compassion for your own children, for your own business. So yes, you may feel like, you know what? I got my own thing I'm dealing with. When you're willing to reach out and care for somebody else, it comes back to you 100-fold in ways that you can never even think or imagine.
What do you say to an abused woman tonight?
I understand. My mother was abused. My sister has lived in abuse. I understand what it means to be abused. And this is what I would say to you. I would say that there is hope. I know how you feel. I know you feel trapped. I know you feel as if you're shackled in your own home. I know you feel as if nobody understands, but I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, he cares and he can open the door for you. I know you may feel guilty and perhaps you may even feel like you need to protect the one that has you in bondage. I want to let you know that Jesus sees you. He cares for you and he loves you and he hears your cry for mercy and he will open up a door for you. There is help for you if you're dealing with domestic violence.
And if there's a trafficker listening tonight, laughing at this, what do you say to that trafficker?
I know where you're at. I know how you feel like this is just a money-making engine. I know how you feel tonight. I have also sold things I shouldn't have sold, and we're in the same boat. I'm just like you. You're just like me. And I know a man that can set you free. His name is Jesus. He can break the shackles and the chains off you because we both know that when you lay your head down at night, you want to be free. I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he can bring you freedom tonight.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, senior pastor of Evangel Ministries, who has just changed the name of their church to 180 Church. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. Lorenzo, you've just changed the name from Evangel Ministries to 180 Church. Why?
Evangel has a 52-year history, and the reason why we changed the name of our church, we want the memories of our past to inspire the vision of our future. The vision of our future is simply this. People who don't feel like they have a choice to change, we want them to come into our church and experience a 180. So how does that look? How does someone go from crises to Christ-likeness? How do you go from living in crises, perhaps in domestic violence? Maybe you feel like trafficking is your only way out. Perhaps you feel like drug dealing is the only way for you to be able to get out of the hood.
The first thing is, people have picked themselves up from a life of being fed a fish to teaching people how to fish. You know, we have a choice, like you just mentioned, but so many inner city people, it's like, woe is me, they don't want to change. Or at least that's how we see it. Why so?
You know, Jack, when you are in the atmosphere where everything around you is crises, you have no hope. And that's the greatest thing that has been ripped away from urban America. It's hope. When you wake up hopeless, we call it the triangle of tragedy. People are waking up today, Jack, and you know what they feel? If I put money in my car, I can't pay for daycare. If I can't pay for daycare, then I lose my house. If I put money in my rent, then that means that I lose my car. And they're in a triangle of tragedy. We believe that you have to give people spiritual support with people like you and people like your listeners that can be able to give people inspiration. That's why I love this show, because somebody in the hood like me can have a radical encounter with Jesus Christ and be able to tell others out there that there is hope, that you can make it, that you can fulfill your calling and your destiny.
If you want to learn more, www.180churchdetroit.org. The Black family unit in the 30s and 40s was the strongest family unit in America. And now it's crushed. How do we get back the Black family unit, not just in the inner city, but all over America?
Jack, you just asked the key question, and it comes down to one word, fathers. One word, fathers. It's because of the male being emancipated, him being ripped away, him being torn away from the family. And now what happens is we have surrogate fathers through sports and through rap industries. And now our young men, they feel like if they don't have a wicked jump shot or if they don't sell crack rock, as Biggie Smalls would say, then that means they can't get out of the hood. And that's why it's imperative that we raise up men. That's why our housing project, it's about young men from the ages of 16 and 25 before they get in prison, not after they get it out of prison. We want to be proactive, not reactive. And we believe that when you take these men and you teach them a skilled trade and you teach them that they have value and they have dignity and you put them around mentors and give them the right support system to show them that they can make it. Jack, that's the way you can take the family unit and make it strong again. The reason why the nucleus family is falling apart in the Black community, it's because of fatherlessness.
If there's a father tonight that's listening and that's abandoned his kids, what do you say to that man?
I would say to you that you can pick your head up. I would say to you tonight, you have more influence than you know. You're a better dad than you know. You may not have all the money in the world. You may not be the best educated. But just a word of affirmation to your children, just a word of hope to your daughter or your son, you can do more with just looking them in the eyes and speaking a word of faith over them than all the money in the world. Everything that you don't feel to be adequate, you can actually speak security over your children today.
You've been a surrogate father for so many Detroit kids, Pontiac kids. If there's a single mom listening tonight, struggling to make it with her kids, what do you say to that mom?
I would say you're doing better than you know. I would say I'm a product of a single mom and a mom that's been in domestic violence. I'm a product of a praying mom. Your children can't outrun your prayers, mother. Mother, I want to let you know that you're doing better than you know. You may not be able to purchase all the things you want for them, but your presence is giving your children more than money can buy.
For a number of years, you didn't make your mom proud, Lorenzo. And she prayed for you and she cried over you. And now you're making her so proud. What's that like?
Well, you know, my mother's my hero. And I'll never feel like I would deserve her. And my prayer is that I would just be a tenth of the parent that she's been to me. So patient, so prayerful, always having faith in Christ for me. And there are no words to express what it feels like to know that you're making your mother proud.
We're talking to Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. If you want to learn more, www.180churchdetroit.org. What's 180churchdetroit.org's plan for 2021, Lorenzo?
Well, our plan is to do a housing unit. We just started our transportation. So we're transporting people to church, but also to their jobs. Our desire is to start mobile mission, meaning we want to go into Flint and Saginaw this year, also Detroit and Pontiac, and have mobile washers and dryers, mobile showers and a food pantry, and also mobile ministry. We have an LED wall that's 24 feet high, 20 feet wide, that we desire to go into Flint and Saginaw, also Detroit and Pontiac, and be able to use a parking lot and open up our trailers so that people that do not feel loved, they do not feel cared for, we can be able to demonstrate the gospel through our showers and our medical and dental, yes, on wheels, our washers and dryers on wheel, but also our mobile preaching and teaching of God's word right on wheels.
You truly love Jesus, Lorenzo. What's that like?
Well, it's understanding that your bad days are some of your best days. Realizing that you aren't everything you should be, but you have to thank him that you're not what you used to be. It's realizing that you're a sheep that often goes astray, but you have a shepherd that runs after you and holds you every day. That's what it's like, Jack. It's realizing that you're not perfect, but it's realizing that you're different.
As our time winds down together this evening, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Lord, I pray for all those that are listening. Everyone that is listening to this amazing show, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would use these airways to touch their hearts. Would you remind them that this year you are the God of the impossible? Would you give them hope against hope like you did Abraham? Would you give them peace like you did Peter? And would you give them a great vision and mission like you did Paul? Do exploits through every one of your listeners. And would you show them tonight that anything is possible? In the name of the one that conquered the grave, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Lorenzo. Please keep him in your arms, guide him and direct him. Let him stay humble to you. Thank you, Lorenzo.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Prisula. Thanks for listening and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.